Waterbury stepmom attorney on live from his family vacation in Greece. Good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
Attorney John Kaloudis, what is your reaction to this DCF report that came out this week?
Well, I mean, it's a mixed reaction because it seems like they're talking out of two sides of their mouth. The first part and the most important part is that there were investigations that were conducted. They were thorough. They spoke. The police went to the DCF, went to the house. They conducted announced visits and unannounced visits. They spoke to the children with adults present and without adults present. They spoke to pediatricians. They spoke to school staff. And these were unsubstantiated. There was no evidence of abuse. And this is what we've been saying all along. There is nothing there. This is a witch hunt.
So I was disappointed with the DCF report because it looked like the result of them saying, all right, let's cover our ass now. Let's get to the truth and see if we did anything wrong. So if you're the prosecution, you're going to rip DCF apart during the trial, right? You're going to really question these findings. Because at first they said, we don't know. We don't keep records that long. And now all of a sudden they have all these detailed accounts.
Ah.
But, you know, the key is that these detailed accounts, as far as I'm concerned, exonerate my client. There was nothing there. It doesn't take much for DCF to substantiate allegations. I see it all the time. Usually the word of one accuser is enough. That didn't happen here. That tells you there was nothing there. My client is not guilty of any crimes.
Yeah, I'm thinking if I'm the prosecution, I look at that DCF report and there's some wind out of my sail. And I'm almost like, wow, I want to offer reduced charges. Would you accept that if they did that?
Look, I mean, I think that's too early. What I can tell you is my client's done nothing wrong. She has no intention of pleading guilty. This whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, is a hoax. It's based on the word of one person with little to no evidence, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I know as far as you're concerned, because you're a defense attorney and, you know, your client's life is at stake.
Yeah.
But you can't. So that was one of the things. So I read your statement, which is a very well written statement. It's to the point. And of course, you point out all the inconsistencies. But you said the accusations against her are baseless and unproven. They're baseless, right?
They're based on the words of one person who's, we'll see how their testimony stands up on the witness stand under cross-examination, because that's the real test.
So it's really, besides the experts that'll be brought in, it's really going to come down to her and him and who's more believable. Correct?
Well, I mean, it may just come down to him, because she has a right to remain silent. And despite what DCF and the politicians are doing, she still has a presumption of innocence. So she may never have to testify, because he may get on the stand. And quite frankly, his story may not make any sense. And there might be such great holes in it that there might not be a need for her to testify. He's going to have to convince a jury that he was locked in a room for 20 years like he claims, and that his only way out was to set this fire.
And well, does he have to prove that he was?
I can tell you that story is going to fall apart.
Does he have to prove that he was locked in the room for 20 years, or that he would be locked in the room periodically over the course of 20 years and mistreated and not provided with things that normal people are provided with, like a place to drink water, a place to take a bath?
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, that's simply not true. He had access to food, water, bath, all that stuff. He's been an adult for the last 13 years. He lived in that house. There was nothing preventing him from walking out that door at any point. She committed no crimes with respect to her treatment of him.
The experts that'll be called in, I'm guessing you're going to call. Have you been putting that list together of who you're going to get together?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. It's still premature, though, you know, because I still have yet to see a medical record. So I have yet to see anything. You know, we've heard about his weight, but I haven't seen that in a medical record.
The medical records because they're very limited. he really didn't get in front of any doctors or any dentists or any of that. Well, so you're talking about from the time he was brought in after that fire?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and those are that's something that's going to be taken up at the next court date.
I was disappointed with the DCF report. I saw you reading it and smiling. I just knew it was good for the defense and horrible for the prosecution. I just feel like this kid has been failed again.
No, well, there you go. With all due respect, I mean, everyone's got to stop with assuming he's a victim. As far as I'm concerned, the victim is my client. She's been dragged through the mud. She's been posed, her face plastered all over the place. And even DCF and the politicians, they do this big investigation, right? They find nothing. They find that there was no evidence that the doctors cleared him, that the nurse cleared him, all this, right? And yet they still say he's a victim. And they still talk about this horrible trauma he's endured. Think for a second how horrible it is for someone to be wrongly accused of such a horrible crime. It's up to a jury to decide if he's a victim. As far as he's an accuser, that's it.
Would you say that she was a nurturing stepmom?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, that's
your scope is just
that really doesn't even cross our mind.
Right. It's
irrelevant to me whether she read bedtime stories and gave him hugs and kisses.
Right.
My only concern is whether she's committed a crime. You know, this isn't the moral court. This isn't whether someone's a good person. I don't care about that. And the jury's not going to care about that because the jury's got to focus on whether there's been a crime committed. That's it.
Yeah, I thought the last time you came on, you made a great point, is that she's not the custodial parent, that the father was alive almost all of the years, except for like the last year. So that would be, if I'm the prosecution, what I'm going to try to hang this around her neck, like that she was running that house and she was telling the father what to do. And she kept that kid, the stepkid, treated him like the ugly stepchild. And, you know, you're going to just have to frame this in a certain way. But the more I hear about this, the more and don't get mad. I just feel bad for this kid. Like, it's hard to not feel bad for this kid.
Yeah.
I get it. Listen, if you believe the allegations, of course, you know, but if you don't believe the allegations, your heart breaks for Ms. Sullivan.
No, but even if the allegations aren't true, you feel bad for the kid because somewhere something happened to this kid and he wasn't properly taken care of. If he has mental issues and he's making all this up, he still somehow ended up in his life at 68 pounds in a horrible situation and there was no one there to get him in front of doctors. So I don't know how you don't, as a human, feel bad for this kid on some level, right? Even if these allegations aren't true. No?
Yes. Okay. No, right. Listen, as a human, you feel bad for the millions of people that have horrible lives all around the world. But as a defense attorney, I focus on the rights of my client. My job isn't to feel bad for this kid. Maybe if this wasn't my job, I would. But my focus is my client and protecting her and saving her life, because this really is the rest of her life in jail, potentially, if she's convicted of this crime. She faces many years if she's convicted. So that's the focus. And that's where my heart goes.
Do you think this will go to trial?
Unless they drop these charges.
Right.
You know, I mean, if they proceed with this prosecution and proceed with these claims and they try and incarcerate my client, hell yeah, there'll be a trial, because we're not going to let that happen.
Now, I've seen enough TV shows to know that there's a back and forth between the attorney and the prosecution in terms of, hey, what's the deal? What's the best you could offer? Have those conversations happened yet?
We're not there yet. You know, and the prosecution's doing their job and they're very, they do a good job and they know what they're doing. You know, we view this case differently. I'm sure they think they have a strong case. I think there is no case, you know, so unless one side changes their position, I don't, you know, this one is going to be difficult to resolve, but it's still premature. Right. It's still in the discovery phases. but it is moving forward. And unless something changes drastically, there absolutely could be a trial.
So you don't send him a text after
it fall apart as well.
After the DCF report comes out, you don't send him a text like, "Hey, you want to let me know when you want to talk."
Get together.
That report was devastating to them.
No, listen, I'm not looking to taunt the prosecution. They have a job to do, and the prosecutor has responsibilities ethically and everything else that he takes seriously. And if he thinks he's got a strong case, he's going to proceed. Next week when I'm back in court, I'm sure I'll be in his ear telling him how I disagree with that.
Attorney Cloy, this is on. He's representing the Waterbury stepmom. And DCF came out with a report this week that was, they got themselves off the hook with this report.
Yep.
And it was, I think, very positive for the defense. This is one of those, and we talk about this off the air, but, can we have an open conversation about this? It's a weird kind of thing to ask you. But her appearance, she looks like, to me, someone who might do something like that. Do you have consultants, talk to her the trial leads up? Let's do this. Let's wear this. You don't do any of that?
Makeover?
No. Listen, with all due respect, I think she's a lovely lady. I think she, I don't know what someone who does something like this looks like.
It's a weird thing to say. You see mugshots.
She's under the microscope. No one looks good in a mugshot.
Yeah.
Well, very few people look good in a mugshot.
Right.
She's a regular person, and regular people come in all shapes and sizes. I don't know. Look, I don't know anyone who's ever held someone captive, so I can't tell you what they would look like.
Yeah, I know. I know it's a dumb thing to ask, but, people talk about it. Yeah, God, she looks crazy.
It comes up a lot, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to disparage her.
No.
I'm just saying, the court of public opinion. And by the way, some of these people are going to be on the jury. You kind of want to see someone who looks buttoned up and who wouldn't do, who wouldn't. I
wouldn't think of that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, respectfully, I think her appearance is not an issue. I think she dresses appropriately. She's a fine looking woman. And, I think a jury is going to love her once they actually, if they actually hear from her. Really, it's how the jury reacts to what comes out of the complainant's mouth when he testifies. It's going to come down to whether he's credible, whether his story adds up.
He doesn't have to testify, right?
I don't see how they prove the case without him. He's the one making the allegation.
And they can't use any of the videotape testimony?
No.
No. Nope. They can't play that.
We need to be able to cross-examine it. We need to be able to cross-examine it. And he needs to be able to answer my questions.
All right, so they can't get those stories out there through bringing doctors up who have talked to him?
Nope. That's going to all be hearsay. This is going to come down to the right to confrontation. He's the accuser. We have the right to confront him. We have the right to test his story. And we're confident in the cross-examination that story is going to fall apart.
It sounds like you're putting the chips on you cross-examining him.
I mean, look, that's my job. That's the burden I carry. The state's going to try and make him as credible as possible. And I would have to do what I can to show that he's not credible and that his story doesn't make sense and that he's not telling the truth.
Well, she got herself a good attorney.
Yeah.
You sound great.
Thank you. I'm trying.
I don't wish you the best in this case.
Listen, I won't hold that against you.
All right, good.
I won't hold that against you. And I'd be more than happy to come back on after we get that not guilty and we could talk about it some more.
Attorney Cloy, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? That's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.